You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality
with Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from LA Talk Radio radio station. And I am not going to be saying in beautiful downtown LA anymore because we have moved. We are now in the Valley. I just learned I was in the Valley. I didn't know I was in the Valley. I thought I was in Studio City, but I was recently told we are now in the Valley. So I remember, I'm from the East Coast, I remember hearing all about the Valley. Of course, this was in the 80s, and everyone across the world was saying grody to the max, and for sure, for sure, for sure. So I remember going, oh my God, Mom, I want to move to the Valley too, because I wanted to be a hip, cool chick, you know? So now I'm in the Valley. Doesn't seem the same anymore. I'm out of time. Anyway, we are on every Sunday from 5 to 5:50 p.m. And that is Pacific Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And our show is basically about informative entertainment. And what that means is it's our goal to provide you with resources and information and tricks of the trade. Basically, everything that you'll need in order to pursue a career in the entertainment business, show business. Everything that you need to know hopefully will come to you today through our wonderful guest. And we hope to inspire you and encourage you and motivate you by interviewing people that are currently making their dream a reality. They've questioned the reality and they're like, damn it, I'm going to make my dream come true and this is going to be my reality. And that's what our guest did here today. I can't wait to find out what he did prior to being an actor and communications consultant liaison on with LA Casting, but we're going to talk to him in a minute. I just want to encourage you to call in and ask questions of our guests between 5:15 and 5:30. And when you call, I'm sure the number is right in front of you if you're listening to us live, but it's the 323-203-0815 number. And you can give it to someone. They don't have to be in front of the computer. They can call it from their cell phone. Hopefully on the speakerphone. We don't want anybody crashing, but 323-203-0815. And we do not have a screening process. We do everything direct to market here. So you call in and you'll be talking to our guest live. So you don't have to go through a big hassle to talk to us. And then if you liked our show and you found that it helped you in some way, we would love to hear about it on the forum. So if you're looking at your screen right now, up on the top, you've got a bunch of links, and one of them is the forum page. And that's where everyone writes in and says, hey, I loved your guest, or I want to talk about this next time, or can you bring this guest on? And we would love to hear what you thought about our guest today. I hope you say all good things about him, and I think he does too. And basically, all you have to do is enter an email address, choose a password, and you're done, and you can post everything that you want to post. So, without further ado, we have, okay, I'm praying that I get this name right because I've been practicing it wrong for months, okay? But he just told me how to say it today, and it is Jawer Coleman. Is that right? Yay! Oh, God. Jawer? Okay, you tell everyone. What's your name, Mr. Coleman?
It's Jawer.
Jawer.
Oh, that was perfect.
Did I do it right? Yeah, oh, my gosh. Yeah. And you may know him from one of my favorite shows, Head of the Class. And he played the character, oh, my gosh. Now, you're going to definitely have to say the name
okay,
on that.
Give it a shot.
Jawery?
You're thinking about it too hard.
Say it for us.
Jawaharlal Chaudhry. So
wow.
When you said Jawarly, it was sort of a combination.
I don't remember it being that long when I was little. I don't remember.
No, it was that long.
Was it that long? Yeah. I used to call you Jay, so that's probably why.
Yeah, Jay. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And he was on Head of the Class, and you may remember that with Howard Hessman, and Robin Givens was on the show, mm-hmm. I believe, mm-hmm. and Brian Robbins. Mm-hmm. And that was one of my favorite shows. that I started watching only because of Mr. Howard Hessman, who used to be on WKRP in Cincinnati. And then I started watching this show more and more because I just wanted to see him. I think I had a crush on him, too. I had a lot of crushes. I was like, So I started watching it, and I just loved it. And he has gone on to play so many different things. He's been on so many different shows since then. Most recently, you played Mr. Singh on, was it Handyman. Handyman. You know, that won a Vision Award
recently.
Yeah.
It's really an honor to be involved with some of the projects that I've had the opportunity to do. And Handyman is great just because it has kind of a multicultural approach. And I think that that's really relevant because I think that there was a study done that was written about in Time magazine about 10 years ago that said by 2035, America is essentially going to be a caramel nation. We're all going to be kind of beige.
We
won't be black. We won't be brown. We won't be white. We'll be kind of a mixture.
Uh-huh. You know? I think the same study was the one that said that there will be no more redheads. There will be no more people with red hair and white and freckles.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same study that I think they said by 2050 or maybe 2100.
Right.
There will be no more blonde hair, blue eye, or red
right.
hair.
And you know, if you think about it, I kind of get where it is that the fearful extremist perspective comes in socially when people say, well, you know, we don't want our kind to date outside our ethnicity because we want our genetic seed to remain.
Well,
I get it. You want your ethnic type to remain prevalent in the future.
We are animals from the
right.
animal kingdom.
Right.
It's survival. You
right.
know? You know, so many people don't, they don't understand. I mean, we are evolved, of course, on the whole spectrum of things. But if you think about it, we're still animals. And in the animal kingdom, what do animals do?
Mm-hmm.
They all stay within their same group.
Yeah.
You don't have lions hanging out with
That's
elephants.
True.
You don't have giraffes hanging out with
That's
lions.
True.
They all stay in their own species.
Right.
And we're the same, you know, same thing. I mean, we're all humans,
right.
but I can see where some people do have that extreme fear to go outside their culture and mix, you know, with another race. It's very terrifying.
It seems to be an over-allegiance to the reptilian brain, and so what happens is that people become fearful.
Yeah.
It becomes more fear-driven as opposed to identifying the fact of, oh, you know, I want certain traits, certain genetic or physical traits of my ancestry to live on. It becomes, no, those people versus
right.
us. And so I think then you get off into something very different.
Right. I've seen that, and I'm not an expert, but I've seen that mostly in areas where clusters or groups of people have all grown up and they're the same, like all whites, and they didn't.
Oh,
you know,
that
but
makes sense.
I don't see that where people have grown up in the inner city and they grew up with having friends that are black and white and
Good
this
point.
And that. You don't see that. That's not prevalent in their personality. It's only when they grow up in the pack, I'll call it. Do we see that? So I mean, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're examples
of
that.
I think that's it. Now, I wanted to talk about, I went to your website. By the way, you guys have to check his website out. I'm so sorry. I normally introduce the website first so you can check him out, but you can check him out at myspace.com/Coleman, Coleman, _ online. And you are a Sagittarius. You know, you don't know that, but I'm into astrology. But when I saw that, I'm like, yeah, he's a Sagittarius. But it was what came afterward that I'm like, Milwaukee!
Yeah.
You're from Milwaukee, Wisconsin! I've never met anyone from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The only thing I know about Milwaukee is when I was little watching Laverne and Shirley, Shamil Shamazel.
Uh-huh.
So now I associate you with Laverne and Shirley beer brewery.
That's not a bad association.
Was that a real factory, or did they make that up? Was there really a huge?
I'm sorry, I have no
you
idea.
You don't know about. about the Schatz Brewery in Milwaukee, Wisconsin?
I know that as I've often said that Milwaukee is the beer belly of America.
Well, there
you go. That's about all I know.
You probably knew that because Laverne and Shirley put Milwaukee on the map.
Well, also because my parents took me to the Budweiser brewery a couple times. And
maybe was probably what they were referencing. They just changed it. And now you are, we were just talking about ethnicities. You are a very interesting little mixture. I love it.
Thank you.
We're all a mixture or something, but you get your hands some looks because you are, let's see, you put 50%, wait a minute, you broke it down in percentages here. Let's see, you got 50% Western European and ancestry and 50% South Asian ancestry. Oh, what does the South Asian consist of?
So South Asian would be, I guess that really isn't really an exact.
You put that in words. Now you got to explain.
Did I?
I copied this directly from what you put on there. You must have been drunk one night.
Well,
you're
it could
I'm
be.
I'm 50-50.
I thought that someone else had put that on my IMDb page.
Oh, I think I got this from.
Am I perpetrating a lie?
or a
generalization? Okay, so here's how it breaks down. I've got Indian, as in East Indian.
Indian.
Arab, Afghani, German, English, and Irish.
Okay. And so you better take that off because I don't hear any Asian in there. Asian.
Southeast Asian is Indian.
Oh, that's
Southeast
true.
Asian.
You never think of that, do you?
And I have to tell you, my brother and I debated what the correct term would be for India geographically over a period of a couple of years. I thought it was just, East Asian or Asia Asian. And so we went back and forth and said, no, it's Southeast Asian. Far East. It's not Middle East.
Uh-huh.
So there you have it.
I'm glad you brought that up because I actually am the worst at geography and directions.
Well, we're American.
We have
no sense of geography above and beyond the state that we live in.
I am one step above the girl that was on the Miss America pageant. One step. When it comes to geography, if they would have asked me a geography question, I would have sounded just like her. I don't know what that question was they asked her. Why do they need a encyclopedia? I don't remember the question.
Neither do I.
But I'm one step above that. So anyway, I read this and I said, oh my God, I got to highlight these things because we have so much in common. You put your interests as, now I got to ask about this. This is too funny. My interests include endless naval contemplation, which I mean, I love NCIS and I love JAG. I don't know if that's what you mean, but okay. We want to talk about that.
Okay.
And now here's where we're compatible. Obsessing over worst case scenarios.
Uh-huh.
I do that all the time.
Uh-huh.
I always have a survival plan.
That's smart.
If it was up to me, I'd have a shelter underneath my... Oh, it is. I'm always thinking, what's the worst case and how am I going to escape this? I have to have plan A, B, and C. Albert thinks I'm a nut because he lives for today. And I'm thinking, oh, no, we got to have a backup plan. So I'm with you on that. Your next thing is eating shameless junk food. Oh, Lord have mercy. Do we love our junk food? You know, he doesn't gain a pound. He's gained. We've been together for 12 years. I've gained 150 and he's gained maybe 10. But love junk food. My junk food.
Yeah, so, I do too.
Now, this one was interesting. Cultivating meaningful relationships through the tedium of email. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we were little, you were born in 68, so I was born in 69. So when we were little, there was no email or cell phones. When we wanted to go see our friends, what did we do? We went and drove our little bikes, went to the next block, knocked on the door, asked if they were home, and then we went out.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't keep up with the emails, you probably won't see the person at all.
I think that the internet, on one hand, for me, is beneficial. It's beneficial, I think, perhaps more professionally than it is personally, in the sense that I can promote myself or my work, which in and of itself can become a very self-indulgent process. So therein, is the risk of MySpace because My God, you really don't know someone until you go onto their MySpace page?
Yes!
Seriously, have you ever met someone, then gone to their MySpace page?
Yes.
Because what the MySpace does is it shows you...
Oh, we have a caller.
Okay.
We have a caller. Hi, caller. You are on the air with Mr. Jomer.
Hi, Jomer.
Hi.
I was just looking at your website and saw that you write poetry.
This is true.
How did you get into writing poetry?
Man, I wish I had a kind of a clever answer to that. I think.
Uh-huh.
How
did you start when you were young, or when did you start writing?
Yeah, I started writing when I was about 12. And,
oh wow!
Yeah, and I think for me it was just more an opportunity for me to vent. I think that for me, what I enjoy about poetry is that, unlike anything else in my life, there are no restrictions, there are no boundaries in terms of what it is that I can write, or what it is that I can say, and what it is that I can express. So, in a way, I can go to places in poetry that I might not otherwise. So I find
that's true.
I find it to be. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, is there classes around town that you know of, or like readings, or where do you, if someone wants to express their poetry in person, you know, do you do that, or do you know any places to do that?
You know, I'm afraid I don't, and I have to say that the question that you're asking is really relevant in terms of, you know, it's a question that you often hear geared towards musicians and actors. The question is, well, how did you get started?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do it?
Yeah.
And where do I go? And I have to say that a majority of what I do is not particularly schooled.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not by normal standards a highly educated man. So,
uh-huh.
A lot of what I do is more an expression of instinct than it is craft.
Mm-hmm.
Anything I know about craft, I just kind of learn by mistake and
mm-hmm.
success.
Well, that's inspiring, and you actually do sound like a highly intelligent person. So, I don't know, you sounds like you're very well read and very well traveled or something. So,
thank
I really
you very
appreciate
much.
Your work, and thank you so much.
I really appreciate your call, and thank you for the question.
Mm-hmm.
So don't forget to go to his website, which is Urban. Why don't you tell Urban?
I just started a website that has my poetry on it, and I've written
a lot
of poetry, and there's only a very small fraction of my work on it, like maybe 3 pieces. But in any case,
uh-huh.
the website is Urban Knight Poetry, and that is spelled URBANKNIGHT Knight,
okay.
as in Warrior Knight. Poetry, POETRY.com.
And it's very
okay,
good.
I'll go there right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, caller. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, I don't know why you said, I read a little bit of your poetry,
yeah.
And it was gorgeous.
Oh,
I loved
you.
It.
Oh, thank you.
I thought it was, it looked like you actually knew everything about prose, and you knew how to actually form it. I would have never guessed that you weren't schooled in how to write it, because it's very good.
Thank you.
Now, I did not understand the picture of Britney Spears on that one poem. I'm like, what's that? Were you writing about Britney Spears? Do you remember?
No, I specifically picked it because just to let your listeners know, that particular poetry has to do with my recognition of a pattern that I placed myself in terms of dating inappropriate women. And I did a search for, what was the Google search that I did? Maybe I put like evil woman or temptress devil, something. Maybe it was devil. But in any case, so this picture of Britney Spears with a very like curious, kind of an insidious look on her face.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is interesting. Kind of like a pretty girl
right.
with kind of this this man-eater expression.
Right.
And I thought, yeah, that accurately reflects that aspect of my human experience.
So of dating inappropriate women.
Of dating inappropriate
women.
That. Yeah.
That just slid right by. I hope somebody was clever enough to get that. That was a funny line. I really like that. I love it. So,
Can I pick up on the thought that I was expressing right before we went to the call?
Yes.
I just wanted to say, MySpace. If you meet someone, and then come to your conclusion, and then check out their MySpace page, what's fascinating about it is that you will discover who that person either A, believes themselves to be, or B, would like the way in which they would like themselves to be portrayed by the world around them.
It is,
which
so
can
true.
Be very, 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 very different.
Very scary too. I mean,
it's
if you
psychologically
meet,
insightful.
It is. Yeah. If you meet someone first and you really like the person and then you go
to their MySpace
page, you will have a moral struggle. You really will be struggling with morality because I have seen some pages, and you think, oh my God, she was so nice, but yet she has pictures of Lucifer on her website, on her MySpace page.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, wow, where was my tuners? Where was my instinct on this? I pride myself in being so instinctive and intuitive, and yet that's completely missed. Mm-hmm. And then so I have to call them and I say, oh, so who did your MySpace page? Praying it wasn't that person that I thought was a little reborn Christian.
Yeah.
So it's true, but a lot of it has to do with, I don't know how computer literate you are, but MySpace really actually has evolved. When it first came out, I mean, it's not user friendly. It's not a GUI interface. Mm-hmm. So you really have to use the templates that are provided by, thank God, so many people mm-hmm. who have created the templates. Mm-hmm. And there's only one spot on the whole page that you can put that on. So you really do have to have a master's in MySpace to get it to look just the way you want it if you don't know, you know, how you do it. But yeah, there's some crazy little people in MySpace. So
thanks for letting me interrupt you.
Yeah,
it's very true.
Yeah. It is true. But another thing that I find you hysterical. I wish you would just blog. Do you blog? I'm going to recommend that you start blogging because I think your thoughts are so, I like sardonic humor. I like sarcasm and wit. And I like people who have like almost a British sense of humor. And I think that you do.
Thank you.
Because when I read this, I just have to read it because it was so funny.
Okay.
So you said that you, and I do this, Albert knows, watching talk shows in which people fist fight. Oh my God. Oh, we have another caller. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Are you calling to talk to Jar?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
I'm on the air.
You are on the air.
Okay. Thank you.
He's right here listening.
What I wanted to say is that I'm enjoying. You have such an articulate and powerful perspective. I'm really enjoying the different range of things you're talking about and. I would like to know. I know that you worked with the early Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I have two questions.
Yeah.
I want to know what that was like, and I also want to know, you were so incredibly young when you did have the class. I want to know just a little bit about your journey. What brought you to have the class so young?
Okay.
And well, thanks so much. I'm enjoying the show.
Yeah. Thanks.
What's
so much
your
for
name,
calling.
By the way?
Kimberly.
Kimberly. Thank you.
Thanks
Kimberly.
For calling, Kimberly. Yeah. So let's talk about Jim Carrey first. I'm so glad that she asked that.
She's referring to, may I say, the movie Earth Girls Are Easy.
That's right. Thanks for
and also who was in that was Gina Davis, the wonderful Jeff Goldblum, Jim Carrey, and Damon Wayans.
Yeah.
And that's what they're referring to, Earth Girls Are Easy. One of my favorites. Go ahead.
Thanks. So I got to tell you, Earth Girls Are Easy was the first film job that I had done. And I was very nervous, particularly given the quote unquote star power of Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis. Goldblum, whose work I have always liked, and Gina Davis, who I thought was just the most beautiful woman in the world
Hallelujah.
That I had ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So And I had never seen any of Jim Carrey's work, so I didn't know anything about Jim Carrey at that time.
Was that prior to Pet Detective?
Oh, way prior to Pet Detective. Yeah, yeah. He had done a movie called Once Bitten, but I hadn't even seen Once Bitten.
Yeah, the vampire movie.
So in any case, we're sitting in the makeup room, and I have to tell you that a number of the people on the production end, in the makeup area, makeup and hair and all that, were rather snooty.
Oh.
And I felt ill at ease in the department there. So I'm sitting there, and this gentleman comes up, and he says, "Hi, my name is Jimmy." And I said, hi, and it's really nice to meet you. He said, you know, welcome to the set. I said, thank you. I said, thank you, Jimmy. And the hairdresser guy, he said, oh, you've already met him for 5 seconds and already you're on a first name, nickname basis, huh? And I said, what? I turned to Jim Carrey and I said, I'm sorry, didn't you say your name was Jimmy? And he said, no. I said, my name is Jim Carrey. But the thing is that Jim Carrey was perfectly fine with it.
Yes.
It was the snooty hair designer that thought I had committed, you know, like this terrible, terrible faux pas. But he was so nice and he was so gracious. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the premiere of Earth Girls over at the Mann's Chinese Theater on I guess it's Sunset or Hollywood or wherever. He was there, and I had maybe about 50% of my lines cut out of the 8 that I had. And he said, hey, congratulations. You did a good job.
Aww.
He couldn't have been nicer.
Aww.
And so I'm very glad. I'm very glad that he's having a successful career.
Of course.
And I hope that he finds the dramatic role
that
he hungers for. That will, the right project, the right director. I think it's challenging for a comic actor to do dramatic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like they need to be reined in
and
really focused. They need to take that big energy and it has to be focused and then held back.
Right.
So I root for Jim Carrey and he gets what he deserves.
But I don't know why people are constantly saying that he does not do dramatic roles well. I thought he did a gorgeous job in The Majestic. Did you? I think he did a great job. What is it? The Spotless Mind, Sunshine.
Right.
Such a long movie. Mm-hmm. I think he did a great job. I think he does a fine job as a dramatic actor.
Mm-hmm.
But people cannot accept it. If he would have started out as a dramatic actor, I don't think that they would have had a problem with it.
Right.
And have been critiquing him as much as they do.
Right.
It's just that they only see him as a comedic actor. I don't know if they even see him as a comedic actor as much as they see him as a comedian because that's what he did first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they tried to keep him down by doing impressions, which is what he started out doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was fabulous. But he's an excellent impressionist. He's a great comedic actor, and he's a great dramatic actor.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think he was born. He was just given the gift. God gave him the gift.
Mm-hmm.
God touched him with the gift. Hallelujah. But I think he's fantastic. And he's another person that you can look at and just tell that he is a really wonderful guy.
That was my
impression. You just said. Now, how was Gina Davis, by the way?
I had very little interaction with Gina Davis. Jeff Goldblum was very generous as well and was kind enough to invite me to audit or check out the acting studio where he teaches and to perhaps sign up. And he's very charming and he's very interesting because when he talks to you, you get the sense as if you're the only person in the room.
Absolutely.
His focus. I mean, he's attractive. He's articulate. He's I think he's speaking as a heterosexual man. I think he's attractive and I get it.
Yeah.
I get why women like Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, he is very good friends with a friend of mine named Kirby and. She was just telling me about their conversation that they had because he's starting. He's taking Christopher Noss' place on CSI.
I'm excited about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I am too.
By the way, Reigns was an excited. Excellent series. Was
oh,
an excellent
I love
series.
That show!
And the fact that
Didn't
it was canceled was a bloody shame.
I was so upset.
Yeah.
Every time a good show comes on, they take it off. There was another show, you know, I met Don Johnson, and I said to him, I cannot believe they took that show off. He was briefly on a show called Just Legal, and it was only on a couple episodes.
You know what? I am a huge Don Johnson fan,
oh,
despite what I've
man.
Heard about his ego or personality. And I have to tell you, I thought Just Legal was terrible. I really thought it was
what?
Terrible.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Well, I saw the first episode and I thought it was horrendous. And I, you know, and I would love to. I mean, I've thought about you
Don,
know what can
I'm gonna
I?
I'm gonna give you Jar's address and telephone
Come
number.
Come on now, let's talk because I wanna do Don Johnson's next series. I have literally spent time thinking about what kind of a series can I pitch Don Johnson?
Really?
Because I think that I don't think it would be like Nash Bridges 2 or Miami Vice
now,
2.
Now I love Nash Bridges. How did you feel about that?
I thought the first two seasons were very strong, and then I think it started to lose its vision.
Hmm.
The first season I thought was exceptional.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love everything Don Johnson. And you know, I was not a big fan, as I've said, in Miami Vice.
Oh, I was.
I didn't watch the show.
Oh,
I watched
he was fantastic.
It once or twice, and it was just too masculine for me.
Yeah.
But see, I didn't like that.
Yeah, Don Johnson doesn't do bad work. Don
no,
Johnson
he's a
always
good actor.
Does. He really is a fine actor.
No matter what he's doing, he's doing theater now, I think.
Uh-huh.
I think he's doing theater now. But yeah, so I tell you. Oh, so back to Earth Girls Were Easy. One of my favorite shows. And then you went on to, now you were 20, I imagine, when you did that in 88.
Yeah.
So pretty young. And then what? The next thing, was it Head of the Class? Was that next?
No, I did that during Head of the Class.
Oh, you did it during Head of the Class. And how did you like working on that show with Howard Hessman
and
Brian Robbins?
Yeah, Kimberly asked that question. I don't think I really answered it.
Yeah.
I thought that if I could do it all over again, I was thinking about this a couple days ago because I knew this question would come up and I wanted to be able to give an answer that would be more original than sort of the usual line that I give. So here's my final decision in terms of how I'm going to answer this. I didn't get what I wanted, but I got what I needed.
Huh, and what was that?
So in other words, I didn't get an opportunity to really do my work as an actor on Head of the Class. Then there were a number of factors behind that. Mm-hmm. So creatively, it was very barren.
Mm.
And for the most part,
I'm sorry.
Yes.
We have another caller.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Not at all.
You are on the air with Jar Coleman. Hello?
Yes.
May
I speak with Jar, please?
Yes, Jar, you're pronouncing his name correctly. I'm assuming you're a friend because I haven't pronounced it correctly yet. Just met him today.
He said it was Jar.
Oh, he did. that still doesn't help me for some reason. I don't know. It's like directions. And I'm actually not a blonde either. Oh, no. Oh, I didn't say that on radio. Okay, what's your name?
Reynolds.
Oh, okay. You are on the air with
me. Hi, Reynolds.
Hi, Jar.
Hello, sir.
My question to you is, we haven't heard much yet on this airing about where you come from and what you're doing in your acting career, but I would like to know if you have anything upcoming or if you are you doing any kind of student films or any kind of promotional films, short films, anything that's going to go to Sundance or any of the festivals in the area that we could see you in?
Thanks.
We were going to get to that. Thank you for calling. We will answer that. We'll answer that question for you.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know what the air date for Handy Manny is going to be, so that would probably be one of the first things. that would be coming out. I completed a short...
And you play the character of Mr.
I play Mr. Singh.
Mr. Singh on
right.
Handy Manny. And what channel is that going to be?
I don't know.
I think that's U.S. I think it's USA. So
is it?
If you Google Handy Manny or go to IMDb and you type Handy, and it's Manny. I think I said Mandy. Handy Manny. You can find out what channel.
Right.
Okay?
I also, what was it? Oh, yeah. I completed a short film by the name of Maria de Covina, in which I play a former LAPD cop turned security.
Security guard?
Security devo. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. That's in the process of being edited and completed. And
is that a independent film?
It's a short film.
A short film.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've done a variety of short films actually, because for a couple of different reasons. First of all, they're really the phrase labor of love is not one that I typically like to use. It kind of gets bandied about, but there's really no money in it. So it's really about doing it. It's really about doing it for the love of it. Prior to that, I did a number of other projects, voiceover projects. I also did a short film called The Passing, which has gone on to festivals and done really well for the director. What else can I offer?
Well, you've done so much. If anyone wants to learn more about Jahr, you can go to imdb.com and type his name, J-O-H-E-R-C-O-L-E-M-A-N. And he has a list there. And then next to his name, you can click on his resume, and it has all of his credits there. And then additionally, I imagine if you went to his MySpace page, he has some information there.
Yeah.
So I imagine all of your credits are listed on those venues, so you've done so much. But I like the lady who called earlier who wanted to know about what it was like to work with Jim Carrey.
Yes.
You have to tell me what it was like working with my fantasy man from the 80s.
Okay.
From Growing Pains.
Oh.
Guess who it was? Kirk Cameron!
Oh, God. Okay.
Wow.
All right. So I'll do a two for one. I'll answer the second part of the previous question, and then I'll get on to Kirk Cameron. So I said that I didn't get what I wanted, but I got what I needed. And what I needed was a crash course in life. And particularly what I got out of head of the class was an experience of learning how to look after yourself and how to respect yourself and how to treat others in the way that you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And how to ensure that you're treated in the way that you treat others.
Now, was that as a result of being treated a certain way that was derogatory, or was it because you were treated in a very good way that you learned it from the set?
Some people treated me extremely well. Mm-hmm. I'd say in certain regards, my character was kind of, you know, Jawaharlal in the context of the classroom was in a way a second-class citizen. And in a way, I think that carried over into the way I was perceived by the writers.
Off the set?
Yeah, that I was basically more of an incidental player as opposed to someone with a great deal more to offer than they were necessarily willing to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And that was certainly their call, but it was just very boring for me in that particular regard. So, you know what it taught me? It taught me existential toughness.
Mm-hmm.
And that has served me well throughout the rest of my life.
Now, see, I found, and this is a different perspective, but I found that head of the class, the way I looked at it, was head of the class was one of the very, very few shows back in that time period that actually dared to put another race or other races in, on screen in the, you know, in the spotlight. And for them to, you know, have, I think your character was Indian,
yes.
I believe.
Yes.
And I don't remember any shows other than that one that actually had an Indian character that was right up there part of the principal actors.
Well, actually.
And I thought that was a front runner for me. I
yeah.
thought that was a really great
Saint Elsewhere was actually in the United States. Saint Elsewhere was actually at the forefront of that.
And I didn't watch that.
And prior to that, in Great Britain, Mind Your Language, which was about a citizenship class of people from various countries, was the forebearer there.
Okay.
But I think also, I don't think it's enough to show someone of a different color. I think you have to represent them in a way that is respectful and dignified.
Okay.
Because if you remember, like, was Amos and Andy, you know, did they do justice to African, you know, to African American culture?
Yeah.
I don't know. That could be debatable. But again, your point's well taken.
Mm-hmm.
And had I been given the opportunity to do more, I'm sure that my take would be different.
Oh, gee, we have another caller, and you are on the air.
Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
Iris.
Hi, Iris, you're on the line with Jar.
Hi. Is Joe, can I talk to Johar right now, or is it?
Yeah, you can. He's
Hi.
Right here listening.
Hi, Johar.
Hi.
This is your cousin Iris.
Hello, my cousin Iris. My beautiful cousin Iris.
I just wanted to tell you that I'm listening to your interview.
Oh, good! Thank you so much.
I do have a question though.
Okay.
Where do we get copies of the movies, the short movies, in?
Short
movies.
Yeah, that's a good question, Iris. What's probably going to happen is as these projects are edited and put together, they will be online, and so I will be including links to those projects on my website, and I would definitely love for you to watch them. I think you'd find them interesting, and for anyone who's seen my work, who saw my work earlier on in my career, I think you'll find it interesting, first off, just to see the way that I've aged, because I think that other than the some of the physical changes is, I think in a way it's lended itself to a different quality and a different texture to the kind of work that I do. What I do these days is really not ethnicity specific, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why I actually left the industry altogether, I left California for a number of years, was because I got sick and tired of playing, you know, Indian, or I played a terrorist, which was actually kind of fun, but it was really of no interest to me because there really was not enough variety. But this is one of the things that I really need to say, Priscilla, to your actors.
Absolutely.
Who are I forget that I need to. What time do we have? What we'll do is let's set aside maybe 5 minutes before we stop, and then let me throw out like five important things that I think an actor might be able to take away from this interview.
I like that. Now, I want to say something about if you are watching if you got my email rather, and you saw a picture of Jar, I don't find that you look typically Indian. I don't find that you look Middle Eastern.
I don't
find that you look like any specific race.
Right.
I mean, you look like, you could be anything. You look a little Italian. You look a little Jewish. You look a little Spanish. You look, how is it that you got, I don't want to say typecast. I don't know.
No. Early on in my career, that's exactly what happened.
How is it that happened to you when you don't even look like an Indian per se?
So this is an excellent question, and here's the deal. At that point in the late 80s, people really didn't have a clear sense. I mean, people didn't there wasn't a strong sense that people who are Indian are generally darker skinned and with darker hair
mm-hmm, right.
than I have. Now the truth is that Indians look all different kinds of ways.
Right.
There are Indians that look exactly like me. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you wouldn't look at me and go, oh, he's Indian. So what it really boiled down to was my familiarity with the language, my ability to do the accent, and the fact that I literally walked into the audition wearing a Nehru jacket, wearing my father's Nehru jacket. When I was on my way to network for my final audition for Head of the Class, in which the network was going to decide to give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down, I was on Century City Boulevard. I was a couple blocks away from the building, and pulling right up next to me was a bona fide Indian.
Wow.
And I took one look at him, and I thought, oh, no, this does not bode well for me.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have someone who was born in India, right, 100% Indian, show up, and I'm just going to look like,
right,
you know. So I think part of it was that, and part of it was acting skill and my comic timing.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, I would never pigeonhole you into any sort of ethnic look
That's one of the happiest things about my career right now that I'm so grateful for.
Okay. Yeah, well, you should be, because you could play I don't know what you'd want to play ideally. Like, what is your dream role? Like, if you could have any role or play any character or any type of character, mm-hmm, what do you feel realistically do you feel that you would like to do?
You know, at this stage in my career, I see myself as being more of a new kind of heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I see myself as being a young heavy.
A young heavy.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, a heavy is typically someone that has some a certain amount of authority,
mm-hmm,
whether it's in law enforcement or the legal system. Or the flip side, the shadow side to that is in the criminal world.
Mm-hmm.
So I see myself as sort of being the not so upstanding authority figure.
I see.
And I've played a lot more dark characters at this stage in my career than I have prior to it.
Well, now we have 4 minutes left. Why don't we talk about everything that you wanted to talk about?
Good.
Yeah, any advice or tips for the audience?
Okay, so here's what actors need to know based upon you know, we almost need to do this again, just to talk specifically, not even talk about myself, but just to talk about what I would suggest. Because as the communications consultant for LA Casting, I've learned a lot that I can share with actors. So, based upon what we've talked about so far, for actors, utilize and resource MySpace and Facebook. Marginalize the glitz. Don't make it look self-indulgent. Make it look professional. You're a professional actor. You run your own business. Read up on business. Find out what it's like to be a savvy executive, because you are the CEO of your own career. Identify your type. Utilize your type. Because at this point in Hollywood, there are so many actors that they can pretty much get the real thing, rather than an actor who's talented, who can play a bunch of different things. Meryl Streep can afford to do that.
Mm-hmm.
As actors who are starting out cannot. So identify your type.
Or your brand, as I say
your brand
every week.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Be gracious. Be gracious to everyone. Be respectful. And be kind. Be kind to yourself,
too. And how important are acting classes? A lot of people come here and don't think they need them. I've run into quite a few people who think, I don't need it, I have natural talent. How important is that you maintain some type of acting class?
I'm a big believer in natural talent.
Me too.
I don't think that what a teacher tells you should ever be more important than natural talent, but like a muscle, you got to go and work it out. So it's important to have a creative gym.
Yeah, really should. All right, we have 2 minutes here. Any last words? Any upcoming projects? Anything exciting?
You know, my friend Valerie McCaffrey, who is a casting director and producer, has just released a DVD that's on Amazon called The Business of Acting. And I want to highly recommend that anyone who's starting out as an actor pick up a copy of that.
Where can we go for the website?
Just go to Amazon and type in Valerie McCaffrey or The Business of Acting.
And that's
McCaffrey. McCaffrey.
McCaffrey.
Or something
okay.
like that.
So something like that.
The Business of Acting, it's a DVD, very helpful. Log on to lacasting.com. And you can email me at Coleman_online@yahoo.com if you have any questions or comments.
Absolutely. He writes a column weekly for LA Casting, am I right?
Yeah, I do. I actually stopped doing that about 4 months ago.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And for the past 6 months, I've been recording podcasts, which will start releasing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And where can we find your podcast?
They'll be on LA Casting.
They will be on LA Casting. So you can find them at LA Casting. You can email them.
This is called The Wrap-Up.
It's called The Wrap-Up. We cannot get... You will find him somewhere. I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope it was informative for you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Priscilla. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, it was so nice. Oh, my God. And we are going to be back next week with Doug Conant, the producer-director, Doug Conant. Thank you, guys. See you next week on Question Reality.
The Horror Channel is your home for the best in horror entertainment, news, culture, lifestyle, and best of all, frights. We are available on Verizon Fios Cable Television. Go to Channel 900, free on demand, and select Pop Culture. Scroll down and you'll find The Horror Channel. So be sure to visit horrorchannel.com for all of our latest programming.